There's just so much more to hear.
Download our podcasts at DubaiEye1038.com.
Hey, you're listening to the Bite Size Business Breakfast, all the best stuff that Tom Erker and I have done this morning, Sunday, the 15th of March.
Having a look at some of the new travel restrictions coming in around the world. From Australia, we have everyone coming in who's not Australian self-quarantining for 14 days. The Australian Prime Minister Scott Morrison saying, and I quote, "If your mate has been to Bali and they come back and they turn up at work and they sit next to you, they will be committing an offence." He's been talking about the buzzword social distancing, but also saying that he hopes that Australians will adjust. And what he's sure won't happen is that they won't lose their sense of Australianness in all of this. Extra long tongs for the Barbie, maybe, or is that just a stereotype?
It's a little bit of a stereotype. But, yeah, again, I find it fascinating how the script has changed on this story and is changing so quickly. And it's obviously, people have looked to the policies of social distancing put into place in places like Singapore, Hong Kong, China, South Korea, where they are seeing positive results now in the handling of the issue. And whereas other people have sort of ignored the social distancing for quite some time, this is obviously the way forward. And the science and the stats are obviously backing that up at the moment. Hence why we're seeing these measures being put in place. I'm just looking at pictures coming through from BBC Worldwide News at the moment.
And I'm going to correct myself. It's everyone arriving in Australia who's come from overseas. Everyone.
Yeah.
If you come in from overseas. Ditto into New Zealand as well. The 2 weeks tends to be the standard.
Yeah, and just a bit of, you know, stories coming through for the Philippines as well, where some fairly significant curfew rules being put into place over in Manila in the Philippines as well, in the attempt to curtail the spread of the virus there.
And we've been talking to aviation experts this morning of the effect on the aviation industry, just to give you some ideas of how dramatic it is for airlines at the moment. In the last hour, American Airlines has said that it now plans to cut 75%, so three quarters of all of its international flights until the beginning of May. It's going to be grounding nearly all of its wide body fleet, that is American Airlines. We are seeing governments around the world come out with stimulus measures to try and shore up its industries, shore up companies large and small. And of course, here in Dubai in the UAE, the authorities doing everything they can to do that. We had two stimulus packages this weekend, and we've been speaking to Khatija Haque, head of MENA research at Emirates NBD, to put them in perspective for us, starting with the $1.5 billion Dubai stimulus package.
There were two substantial packages announced in the UAE over the weekend. The first was a series of fiscal measures from the government of Dubai to provide support for businesses and individuals over the next 3 months. That included waiving government fees on businesses, reducing customs fees on imports of goods to Dubai, as well as lowering municipal taxes on hotels and giving a 10% reduction in DWA bills, so that's on utilities for the next 3 months for both retail customers, individuals, and also companies. The total package is estimated to be worth around 1.5 billion dirhams. SMEs will benefit as well as other businesses and households. Overall, this is an extra 2.25% of what had already been budgeted for 2020 in terms of Dubai government spending. So it is a boost in terms of what the government is putting into the economy, or at least not taking out in the form of taxes and fees.
So that's one stimulus package. We've also seen last night a stimulus package coming, 100 billion dirhams worth of relief for banks designed to trickle down to the economy from the UAE Central Bank.
This is a liquidity injection by the central bank worth about 100 billion dirhams, which is around 6.5% of the UAE's GDP. It is a substantial boost to the amount of liquidity that is available for banks to draw on and pass on to other actors in the economy. So basically what this means is that banks can access 50 billion dirhams of interest-free loans from the central bank and use that money to finance lending to SMEs, to other private sector corporates, and to individual customers as well. The banks can also free up an additional 50 billion dirhams from their own capital buffers, which the central bank had required them to hold, but they're now relaxing that requirement to make that money available again for banks to be able to increase funding to businesses and individuals. Now, the purpose of these measures is to provide temporary relief for both businesses and individuals who might be struggling to make their principal or interest payments on their loans for up to the next 6 months. And this is really going to help both individuals and customers to manage their cash flow better in an environment where they may be significantly affected by what's gone on due to the coronavirus. The central bank has also increased commercial banks' ability to lend to SMEs by lowering the required capital that they need to hold in order to extend a loan to a small or medium-sized company. They've also announced an increase to the loan-to-value on mortgages for first-time buyers by 5 percentage points. And they've also increased the amount of lending that banks can do to the real estate sector as well. And then finally, the central bank made it very clear that they are committed to maintaining the dirhams pegged to the dollar. They mentioned in their release that they had over $400 billion worth of reserves, which can be used and would be used to defend the currency peg if needed.
Khadija Haque, Head of MENA Research at Emirates NBD there.
Also been asking for reactions to the stimulus package from various sections of the business community here in the UAE. Number of guests on Starting Up yesterday were asked by their producer, Noni, for their thoughts on this for the team down here at the Business Breakfast. One of those was Diraj Kunwar. Diraj is the MD for Business Banking at Rak Bank. We asked Diraj, what do you think of the Dubai stimulus package?
See, in such times, the government commitment to SME sector and the economy as a whole is really appreciated. And anything which reduces the cost of conducting business and cost of managing the business and cash flow is always a welcome step. So I'm sure the businesses will take it very positively.
Christina Henry is the CEO and founder of You Rock Dubai, a shop for bespoke products here. So what does she make of the stimulus package?
It will help me directly a lot because I'm importing and selling in the UAE, so it would definitely impact my business positively. I hope it will be implemented. It says that it will be implemented straight away, so I hope that the banks also coming to the no deposit points and that it will be implemented right away and that I don't have to check up on this, but it would just automatically be implemented. And in terms of imports, it will definitely help my business. So I'm very happy with this announcement.
That is Christina Henry, the CEO and founder of You Rock Dubai.
Catch up on the business headlines with the Bite-sized Business Breakfast.
So distance learning for schools will start next week. We've got the premature spring break at the moment. We have got changes to all of our routines. A lot more people being asked to work from home in the next couple of weeks. These are unprecedented times, and we're coming to terms with the new norms, which makes the reading of a recent report and research all the more fascinating. Nearly half of employees say they're equally productive working from home. This is according to one asset management group here in the UAE that conducted a survey about the effectiveness of allowing its employees to work remotely. To tell us more about those findings and these new norms at the moment, joined on the line by the general manager at 360 Communities, a subsidiary of Eltizam Asset Management Group. Mr. Alan Rowlands joins us live on the line. Morning, Alan.
Good morning. How are you doing?
Not too bad. 47% of respondents saying that they were equally productive from home. 42% saying that they were more productive. Were you pleasantly surprised by these results?
Well, wondering whether some might have been having a bit of a wind-up for the boss, but it was interesting, wasn't it? 47% saying equally productive, 42% saying more productive. That's 89-90% of the whole workforce.
In terms of how it's been for you on the ground there, allowing employees to work remotely at present, I mean, are you seeing any sort of fall-off in terms of productivity? Are you seeing benefits?
No, not at all. I don't think, you know, you could say there are benefits, but certainly no fall-off in productivity. I think that, you know, there's an awful lot of information now coming out from the various regulators and authorities about, you know, how we should handle the whole work from home scenario. And indeed, we've come up with our own work from home policy. And the trial run that we held a couple of weeks ago was really just part of that. And I think it's important to be prepared, and it's important to have a plan in the eventuality that it becomes an absolutely necessary requirement.
You mentioned there about the necessary requirements, and obviously one of your jobs as general manager is managing a number of different characters and individuals. Are some people better suited to working from home than others?
Yeah, I think you could say that. I mean, you know, I've read a lot of information about the do's and don'ts of working from home, and, you know, I think that there's absolutely a truth in saying that some are better suited than others. You know, some say you must dress as though you're going to the office. Some say that you've got to have a real discipline and perhaps, you know, a proper workplace set aside. Clearly, you have to have all of the connectivity issues sorted out. So, you know, we have a benefit at 360 in that everything that we have, we can manage remotely through technology solutions. So, you know, using Microsoft Teams, secure VPN servers, using technology for transfer of payments, automatic authorization of payments from our payment side, and so many different channels for our customers to interact with us through social media and through other technology solutions.
Over 90% of the employees that you surveyed would support working remotely at least once a month moving forward. I mean, can we read into that despite the fact that obviously we are going through challenging times at the moment, these might open up new opportunities for us in the future?
Well, clearly technology solutions have been working towards this quite rapidly, perhaps even more accelerated over the past few months / years. And, you know, we talk about how the workforce is becoming far more mobile, how working from home solutions are becoming a lot more attractive, both to the employer and the employee, because in these hard times we're always looking at, you know, potential ways of cutting overhead costs, and technology is certainly a way that we can improve on our whole cost structure.
So, Alan, what else did you find out from this survey in terms of what was working and how productive people were actually being?
Okay, so clearly the issue is that you've got to be able to have all of the solutions that enable you to work from home. So if you're using Skype, conference calling, SharePoint, as I say, through VPN servers, if you don't have the technology solutions sorted out before you enter into a work from home procedure, it's going to create difficulty. So I think the thing that we did learn was that from a trial run perspective, all of the technology solutions we have put in place have certainly enabled us as a company to move forward on work from home. In addition, we've been working really, really hard over the last 6 months to get into our internal processes, eliminating paper use, looking at automatic signatures, automatic payment channels. So if I was to say anything, the lesson that we have learned is that to be prepared is 100% critical.
Alan, in terms of the impact of COVID-19 on the community as a whole, specifically given your area of expertise and facilities management as well, again, is that going to be challenging at present? Or again, can we take sort of silver linings? Can we take positives away from the situation as it evolves so quickly and rapidly?
Well, yeah, it is evolving quickly. Initially, our major concern was the effect of any COVID-19 infections in the communities that we manage.
Yeah.
And we were very focused on that. And it wasn't until just a little after that we then realized, well, it wasn't only the communities we manage, it was our own workplace that we had to be concerned about. But as far as the communities that we manage, you know, clearly we've gone into a far more intense sanitization and cleaning program along with our FM contractors, such as Tafawak, one of our group company members. We've stepped up in the common areas where people are obviously congregating and spending time mingling. And in some cases, we've now taken the decision to close down common areas such as lounge rooms, gymnasiums, perhaps swimming pool, barbecue type areas. In the communities we manage in Abu Dhabi, we've been issuing hand sanitizers to all residents. And I think that, along with the fact that people are becoming very aware through all of the various media channels, the awareness is very, very high now in most of the communities, if not all, that we manage.
Interesting times. Really appreciate the research. Alan, thank you very much indeed for your time this morning. This is the General Manager at 360 Communities, subsidiary of Eltizam Asset Management Group, Mr. Alan Rowlands.
This is the Bite Size Business Breakfast, exclusively on DubaiEye1038.com. The Business Breakfast's Pick of the Papers.
Well, it might not be the most cheerful morning, but it is important to know what is going on. And for that measure, we have Sanooj Sharif from the ARN News Centre in the studio with the latest. Sanooj, good morning. Thanks for joining us.
Good morning.
Where are we on the case count here in the UAE at the moment?
Well, here in the Emirates, three more COVID-19 patients have recovered, while one new case has been confirmed. The Ministry of Health and Prevention says an Indian national tested positive after he returned from his annual leave abroad. The authority says all those who came in contact with this patient have tested negative. Meanwhile, the number of recovered cases has gone up to 23, two Emiratis and an Indian national. They are the latest to be given the all clear. So overall, the total number of cases are 86, out of which 63 are active.
And what's the latest on event cancellation?
The Dubai government, the media office, has announced that all events in the Emirate has been called off until the end of this month, and after that they will be, you know, taking a further call, reassessing the situation. Entertainment destinations have been asked to suspend operations as well. Wedding gatherings at hospitality establishments and at public halls have also been suspended, and the Department of Tourism and Commerce Marketing, the DTCM, says inspections will be carried out to ensure that venues and outlets are complying with the rules. Similar measures were also announced in Abu Dhabi, which has shut down all major tourist sites and cultural venues from today as a precautionary measure until the end of this month.
Yeah, and we're seeing that around the world, haven't we? I mean, we've been looking this morning, Tom and I have been looking at what's been announced in France overnight, and that is that all non-essential shops, so everything basically that isn't a pharmacy or a grocery store or a gas station, will be shut, as well as restaurants, cafes, movie theatres and clubs. Every government around the world tackling it same, but different in terms of having a look at their own unique situations, but effectively looking to contain the spread of viruses, and airlines and airports is the other big one.
Yes, I mean, if you look at the global situation, the British government has announced a ban on mass gatherings from next week. Manila, the Philippine capital, will be imposing a month-long night curfew from 8 p.m. until 5 a.m. So these are precautionary measures that governments around the world are taking. And over here, you know, in terms of flights, the General Civil Aviation Authority announced that all flights to and from Lebanon, Turkey, Syria and Iraq have been suspended. It's applicable from the 17th of March until further notice. Also, the UAE government announcing that all forms of visas to foreigners will be suspended as of March 17th. The only exception is diplomatic passport holders. So if you have, but if you've already secured a visa before that cutoff date, this directive is not applicable.
What are we streaming, people? Have we all got new favourite television shows? I've bought a second streaming service if I'm going to be a little less social than I have been previously. I'm watching Succession, can recommend it wholeheartedly. Brilliant television. Very sweary, though, if that's not your thing, don't go near it. You've got two children. You haven't watched television for years.
I'll tell you a little thing that I'm sort of struggling with at the moment, and I know it's something that caught the imagination of a lot of people on social media over the course of the last, 24 hours or so, is internet access. And it does sort of beg, bring into question this whole issue of distance learning as of next week for children. You know, this time next week, we will be about two lessons in to the new distance learning routine here. And given the fact that a lot of friends over the course of the weekend were complaining about their access to certain services here, a couple of the telecoms providers have since gone online and explained that there has been an outage of sorts. But it has thrown a sort of spanner into the works, because if we are going to become more and more reliant on remote working, then we need to have that trust, don't we, that we're going to be able to log on.
And this is, I mean, I saw, I think it was an explanation yesterday that was a cable, I think was the cable. Because then, of course, Twitter weighed in, because Twitter is full of funny people saying, all right, which one of you kids cut the cable so that you wouldn't have to do your work? Yeah. Fess up. But globally, a lot of telcos have come out, I think, in the UK to reassure people about bandwidth, to say, look, okay, you know, here's what we've got: people working from home, we're going to have a lot more people teleconferencing, we're going to have a lot more people who are reliant on these networks who maybe wouldn't have been at different hours. The kids are home, are they gaming? And so in the UK, I know at least, and we're looking to speak to the telco operators are here, are reassuring people that the bandwidth is available.
Yeah, because this was the explanation that came out from Do yesterday, saying, dear customers, we're currently facing technical issues in our home services due to a global cable cut. Our team is working on restoring the service back to normal. We're sorry for the inconvenience. A lot of people taking to Twitter, to other means of social media to have their say. But a lot of people just making the point, and I think it is a very valid point that people are making this morning, going, you know, it's all good and well, but to your point, you know, if we've got more and more people working from home, it means that they're going to be reliant on internet access. If you've got your kids also learning from home, plus we're all downloading new series onto our various VOD sites as well, it is going to put a bit of pressure on there. And I wonder whether that is going to be a hurdle that needs to be addressed moving forward.
Right. We'll be looking at these challenges on the Business Breakfast, finding out more about them. But as I said, around the world, telcos are giving statements to say to people, look, we know that you're going to be using it a bit more. Killing Eve may not be their top priority, I'm just saying, but letting people know where things stand. Speaking of which, very quickly, Sanooj, we obviously last night got this new support scheme out from the central bank.
Yes, again, the UAE government is taking further measures to ease pressure on businesses and consumers. It's a 100 billion dirham economic support scheme that the Central Bank of the UAE has announced. So, you know, mix of providing collateralized loans at zero cost to banks, temporary relief from paying interest on outstanding loans, reducing or waiving certain fees, incentives for SMEs, and a series of other initiatives. And these measures, the bank says, will be coming into immediate effect. And we also had, you know, over the weekend, the Dubai government announcing similar measures for businesses and consumers to reduce the cost of doing business, making the procedures more simpler.
Right. It's from the ARN News Centre. More on the app, though. If there's a lot of detail there to absorb, isn't there?
Mm-hmm. So on the ARN News Centre
exactly.
App.
If you want to go in and refresh yourself on what's going on, that's where you need to go.
Just the highlights. This is the Bite-Sized Business Breakfast.
We are going to have a look now at some of the stresses and strains on the airline industry. We've got IATA coming out and saying that governments need to be looking at all possible means to help the industry through these extreme circumstances. We've got reports of Norwegian Air speaking to its government. Some reports out in the German press that Lufthansa is going to do the same. Vianamra Longani is the head of operations at Sarin and Co, legal specialist, airline specialist, and speaking to us this morning. Vianamra, good morning. Thanks for joining us.
Good morning, and thank you for having me on the show.
Is it a government's job to step in and support an airline?
To be honest, these are unprecedented times where demand for air travel has basically disappeared overnight, leaving airlines in the lurch. I mean, to add to what you just said, IATA, the International Air Transport Association, has also said that the airline industry could face revenue losses of up to $113 billion because of COVID-19. So when demand for flights is considerably reduced, and on top of that, airlines are having to deal with extensive travel bans, which have been placed by various governments the world over, It is kind of understood that the governments would sort of stand up and help the airline industry.
Yeah, the US travel ban was the biggie, although not the only one for this weekend. But with the US being the largest aviation market, of course, it's going to have the biggest effect. How big could that effect be, Vinamra?
Well, to be honest, the European and American airlines depend a big chunk of their revenue comes from the transatlantic market. And initially, the ban was only limited to the 26 Schengen states. But as of last night, the U.S. has added the U.K. and Ireland to the list, too. Now, the U.K. and the U.S. is possibly the world's most profitable air traffic market. So, like I said, I mean, it'll be impossible to put a number to it, but this is big.
Well, we've been looking at the memo that has gone through British Airways from Alex Cruz, the boss there. I mean, it's an extraordinary memo. It's actually titled "The Survival of British Airways," outlining the measures that they may use. What options do airlines actually have at the moment when it comes to trying to cut costs?
I mean, to actually go back to what the airline, what the government can do for the airlines, I just like to quickly harp on that. See, essentially, airlines are not only businesses on their own, but enablers of many other businesses the world over. They provide direct and indirect employment to millions of people, and obviously in doing so, contribute greatly to the world GDP. So in my opinion, what the airlines are trying to do is trying to shore up emergency finances, which will help the airlines survive till things get better. And obviously, apart from the government assistance, which can sort of come in the way of reduced taxation, cash advances of some sorts, or even loans backed by government guarantees, the airlines can obviously cut costs, which means canceling flights, grounding aircraft, sending staff on unpaid leave, and also ensuring that all non-essential expenditure, which could be things like new route launches, marketing initiatives, these are all basically stopped or at least suspended for the time being.
And how do they future-proof themselves? I mean, I, funny enough, was speaking to my sister this weekend, who's looking at coming out here for Expo at the end of this year. She was telling me about the fantastic prices that she was being offered on Emirates with free cancellation, free changes, no questions asked. And I said to her, well, that's a win-win, isn't it? I mean, you get your cheap flights for the end of the year. Emirates gets your cash now, which is what it will be wanting. Are airlines playing a long game here?
Yeah, it's, to come back to what your first question was, there is no way to run a future-proof airline aviation industry. I mean, you know, this industry is so prone to everything that happens around the world. Anything that happens has an impact on aviation. But yes, I mean, airlines would try and get in as much cash as they can for operational expenses as of now. And if that means selling future inventory with limited or no conditions, i.e. offering free cancellation or changes, they possibly do that, because that's one major way of getting some sort of revenue in, because as of now, people aren't traveling and demand is down. So they're still sort of flying the skeletal schedules that they are, and you know, and costs, fixed costs like paying employees, etc., or like fuel costs. As much as fuel prices have gone down considerably, these stay as is.
Vinamra Longani, Head of Operations at the law firm Sarin & Co, speaking to us on the Business Breakfast from India this morning. Thank you for your time.
There's just so much more to hear.
Download our podcasts at DubaiEye1038.com.